I'm most grateful to Father Brendan, Deacon Chand, to all of you for inviting me and letting me come into the parish, to your Bishop Earl, to speak about our mission work, in my case, in Peru, South America. My name is Bishop Daniel Turley. I'm an Augustinian bishop. I was ordained in 1968. I spent 4 years in Mexico before ordination. I was sent to Peru, and I was there until 2021. So I was gone from the United States for 56 years. I came back in 2021 because I would ordain the new bishop, and because so many people knew me after so many years, I could just see that it's not good to have two bosses. The new boss, the new bishop, had to be left alone to serve as bishop. And it was best that I would distance myself because I'd been there all my life as a priest. But I promised the new bishop, his name is Cristobal, that I would help him and help the Augustinian missionaries as much as I possibly could. And so that's why I'm here, to speak about the missions and the work of the missionaries. And since I'm an Augustinian, and in Peru, there was a young priest who came down in 1985, the end of 1984. He was a young Augustinian priest. I was his boss. And his name was Father Robert Prevost. And he is now Pope Leo. And he's my boss. He's our boss. And so, yes, I was the boss of the Pope. And so later on, he came down, and then Pope Francis named him the Bishop of Chiclayo. So he was in Peru about 20 years. But of course, I'm a little older. I was in Peru for 52 years. And right now, I'm living in Chicago, Illinois, with the Augustinians. And so I'd like to talk to you about the missionary work. First of all, it's a blessing to be here with you. What a beautiful parish, St. Joseph's. What a magnificent church. What a beautiful church. What a beautiful people you are, with wonderful deacons. And I didn't get to meet Father Brendan, but I just know he has to be a wonderful pastor. And the music and the readers, and it's just beautiful. You have done such a marvelous work as a parish. What a beautiful, beautiful church. And as I say that, I'm just thinking how grateful you should be, and we should all be, for the so many blessings that we have, and never forget that. In our mission, where I was the bishop and the missionary, there are 1,600 towns in the mission diocese. Right now, when I left, there were 52 priests. When I first got there, there were 7 priests. Now there are 52. When I first got there, there were missionaries from different countries. Now all of the priests are Peruvian. So there have been vocations. It's been a blessing. But even with 52 priests, the distances in the towns are so far spread apart. Most of the towns get one Mass a year, one Eucharistic celebration each year. Just one. When you think of that, you got to come to Mass every Sunday. And you could even come during the week if you wanted to. And some of you probably do come every day to Mass. But so many people in the mission territory, they get to the Eucharist once a year. once a year. And that's because, for example, before becoming bishop, I was a pastor in Pacaypampa. Pacaypampa is up in the Andes Mountains, about 7,000 feet above sea level. And some of the towns go up to about 10, 11,000 feet. Beautiful mountains. And towns are up and down the Andes Mountains. And in the parish center, well, to get out to Muxcapan, which we're going northeast, 14 hours walking or on a horse. 14 hours. And you're still in the same parish. Still in the same parish. And then you go to the other direction, going a little bit northwest. 12 hours to Naranjito, walking or on a horse. And to go to Palo Blanco, 8 hours. That would be going southeast. And going a little bit southwest, more like 5 hours, 6 hours. And so in the parish, we had 120 towns. And then in December would come the rains. All the roads and each washed out way. You couldn't get to the towns. You could start getting to the towns usually about May. You could start getting out to the town. And so many towns receive one Eucharistic celebration each year. And then what a challenge. How to get the people, because with just going to one Mass a year, how can they learn about the gospel and about Jesus and about the sacraments, about the Ten Commandments, everything that we should know as Christians, and how difficult. And so we'd have to figure out ways and invite the people to come and choose amongst the people, with the people, to see who could be catechists of baptism, the catechist of confirmation, catechist for the First Communion, and who could be the readers for the Word of God, because we decided we'd have to teach the people so that they could come together without the priest, and that someone would read the Word of God for everyone present, and that they would share that Word and pray together without a priest, because the priest could not get there only once a year. And so we'd bring in the leaders of the towns, and to teach them, help them to be able to read the Word of God well. And they, little by little, they learn how to read the Word of God well. And then they learn how to be catechists, and it's beautiful work. But it's a lot of work, and how beautiful it is to be with the people. And they're wonderful people. I'm thinking of one lady right now. Her name is Maria, which is a common name, very common down in where we were in Peru. Maria, she lived in a town that was called Naranjo. That would be like the orange tree town. And Naranjo was 2.5 hours away walking. Every Sunday, right now, she has just come out of Mass. Every Sunday she would come, and she was an extraordinary minister of the Eucharist. And she was so in love with Jesus. And she's about 70 years old. She would walk 2.5 hours down into the valley and up to the parish church with a little ciborium. She'd come to the 8 o'clock Mass, and after Mass she'd come to the bishop or the priest and ask for the Eucharistics, the consecrated host, the body of Jesus and blood of Jesus, and then would receive them. And she'd walk back to her town 2.5 hours to celebrate the liturgy of the Word without the priest, and then to those who are prepared, they would receive the body, the blood of Jesus, our Lord. And you say, what a wonderful woman. Mary, Maria. She walked every Sunday. She walks 5 hours for Christ. And she does it joyfully. Joyfully. It's her joy. And then she's with her people an hour and a half or so. So in a certain sense, she spends about 7 hours every Sunday. Every Sunday, 7 or 8 hours for Christ. But what a holy, wonderful, wonderful missionary of Christ. And so there's wonderful people. And this is what we're doing in the missions. And when the people are generous, they're good, but they don't have a lot of money up in the mountains. And so, like I was just remembering yesterday, at the time of the gifts, the people, they don't pass a box around a little to receive donations because the people don't have very much money. But what they do have, they do share. So when you receive the gifts, the priest goes down or the bishop and the people come up with potatoes or corn or wheat. Maybe some in the lower parts might have some bananas or some kind of fruit. And then they come up with maybe a chicken, a rooster. And as I was going back to the altar, turning back, I noticed that someone was still coming up from the back. And it was a little hunchback lady. She's all so tiny. And so I went down to meet her. And she was coming very slowly. And she had something in her hand. And when I got to her, it was a little hanky. And it was all knotted up in knots. And so I opened the knots, and inside were 6 eggs. And I looked down at the lady, and I recognized her. She was the poorest lady in the whole area. Her little house was about like right here, maybe about 5 feet by 8 feet. That was a little shack. And her bed, I visited her little shack. It's hard to call it a home because so poor. And no bed, of course. A sheepskin, that's where she would sleep. And her little stove, 4 adobe bricks. And in the middle of the 4 adobe bricks, kindling wood. And a little pot on top. And that's where she would boil the water and make something to eat. She had nothing. And so I made a terrible mistake. I said, Murray, her name was Clara, Clarita. Clarita, I know you. I visited your little home. I know how poor you are. I said, you need this. You don't have any food. You have nothing to eat. And I'll never forget it because it was so powerful. She just looked up into my eyes, and she's so tiny, and she's looking into my eyes, and she said, you mean that you're going to take my happiness away from me? You're going to take my happiness away from me? And I started crying because I said, oh, my goodness. I said, I can't take your happiness away from you. I said, God is so happy for your gift because the whole gospel came to life for me. I was remembering when Jesus was looking into the temple and he saw a man come in with a large donation, but right after him was a poor widow and she had 2 pennies. And Jesus asked that powerful question, which of the two pleased God more? And of course the answer was the poor widow, because she was giving everything she had to God. And the other person was giving what was left over. And I just came to my mind, I said, these 6 eggs are like gold for God because she's giving everything she has to God. And she's doing it with happiness, with happiness. I just, oh my goodness, what a lesson. And so these are the people, they're wonderful people, but they can't give a lot, they don't have a lot. And so there's so many things that we're trying to do in the missions, and that's why missionaries do come and you ask for help, because you need help. And that's why I'm here, to ask you to pray for the missions and to be generous in the collection for the mission today and always, because we do need your help to be able to continue to evangelize, to bring the good news of Jesus to the poor people, in this case, of northern Peru, where there's so many wonderful things going on, good things, but we do need your help. And I know you've always been generous with missionaries who have come, and so please be generous to our missions in the Augustinians in northern Peru. And please pray for missionaries, men and women throughout the world. In some parts, the missionaries are being persecuted, and it's very dangerous. And it's beautiful work, but what missionaries need your prayers, our prayers. So let us pray for the missions, and let us be generous and help our missionaries in their wonderful work that has to be done for Christ in our world and in Peru today. Thank you.